Around 12% of wild mammal deaths in North America are caused by roadway crashes. That's according to research done last year. In some cases, roads cut off animals from migrating in winter. A form of infrastructure called wildlife crossings can help animals bypass those roads. Currently, only about 1,000 of them exist in the United States. Patricia Kramer is an independent wildlife researcher who's worked with the Department of Transportation and state wildlife agencies. She recently talked to WPR's Lee Rayburn.
Patricia, you've studied each state's data on car accidents involving wildlife. What did you find out specifically about Wisconsin and how it compares with the rest of the country?
Sure. Wisconsin, I looked at 5 years of crash data from your Department of Transportation through 2019, and Wisconsin averages over 20,000 reported crashes with wildlife each year. And that winds up being 16% of all your crashes. That's actually quite large. Most states have the number of recorded crashes with wildlife are well under 10,000. And the average of all the states is about 5% of all their crashes are with wildlife. So you very much have a problem there in Wisconsin.
I think anecdotally, we can all see it as we're driving down the roads at one point or another. But how are U.S. roads affecting animal interactions with the environments around them then, Patricia?
Well, as you see, roads can be pretty lethal because of the traffic on them killing the animals. They also create habitat fragmentation for the animals. We can see how a deer can't get to the other side of the road to access water or food. But there's also smaller animals like salamanders trying to migrate to a pond to lay eggs, or turtles, or black bear. Bear are known to be a bit more skittish of roads than other species of animals, so you may have your black bear restricted to one side or the other. So there's the ability to get to your kitchen, your bedroom, your backyard. For all these animals, if they're in an area with roads, those places are bisected with a bunch of vehicles coming through. So it affects the individual animals that you see, but then over time it can affect the populations and you can lose those populations of animals.
Patricia Kramer, our guest, wildlife researcher. And Patricia, it was in the mid-90s that I came across wildlife crossings for the first time. It was actually a frog tunnel in Davis, California. And I'm wondering what your research says about their effectiveness.
Oh, well, wildlife crossing structures work, and I will encourage anyone who doubts it or would like to see them in action, if you would go to YouTube and type in the words wildlife crossings. We do research here. Well, actually, I'm all over the country, but I have videos online for Utah wildlife crossings and Montana wildlife crossings, and you can see dozens to hundreds of animals, particularly deer, going through structures. There's also great videos by others showing some of the smaller animals, even down to groundhogs or squirrels going across structures, porcupine, skunks, moose. I even have photos of wolves using structures in Montana. So they very much work. If anyone is a naysayer, it's because they're not informed. But we know they work. There are some animals that are skittish. For instance, pronghorn, bighorn, and elk are the problem children. And you can get a couple of the boys to go through, but to get a herd of all of them with the matriarchs leading, they're very skittish, and we typically have to put in overpasses for them because they don't like to be restricted in their movements. And so what we do in our research with wildlife is we put cameras on the entrances to a lot of these structures and even existing bridges and culverts, and we see who goes through and who's skittish and doesn't want to. And then we compare the results and we tell the engineers, okay, length matters, which means don't make it a long, dark tunnel. Keep it high and wide and open, and you'll get a lot more of the animals. So they very much work for the animals they're designed for.
So the benefits for the animals and the animal population, quite clear. But what does the data say about what we've seen in terms of benefits for humans and our transportation systems?
So I went and added up the cost, the average cost of all the crashes that are reported with wildlife in Wisconsin, and it's over $263 million worth of crashes. So that's property damage, people's injuries, and the value of human lives lost. So if we put wildlife crossings in along with some fences to guide these bigger animals like your white-tailed deer, less people will get in crashes, less people will die, people will save money, maybe your insurance rates would go down. And you might be less fearful going out at dawn and dusk when these animals are out and about. So it winds up being a great win-win situation for everyone.
So, Patricia Kramer, if this is a win-win situation for everyone, why aren't there more of these crossings across the United States?
Well, because Departments of Transportation have evolved just providing transport for goods and services and people. And their mission statements do not say too much about the environment, connectivity for wildlife, you know, ecological reasons for doing things. And so we are asking Departments of Transportation to do something they haven't typically considered, and they have to say, well, there's many things we have to consider. So my mission in life is to change the mindset for them to do things that not only benefit wildlife, but will help the transportation department minimize crashes, so the safety aspect, as I've been saying, but also things like, okay, you need to plan for climate change and the water coming through a place like Wisconsin, the runoff in the spring is going to be in greater pulses, greater volumes. And so you need to be planning not just for culverts for water, but placing bridges that encompass more than the 100-year floodplain. And in turn, that will protect the infrastructure from being washed away by the flooding that might happen with climate change. And you might have terrestrial pathways along the stream that now the animals can use, and even people that are anglers can walk along underneath the road and don't have to pop up over it because it was just a culvert. So there's many small things you can do. And then when a big project comes along, like say four laning a two lane highway through a national wildlife refuge or a place where there's a lot of animals, we try to encourage the inclusion of wildlife crossing structures early in the planning. That is so critical, not 5 years down the line, but 15 years down the line, saying, hey, let's put in some bridges for wildlife to get underneath the road. So it's multifaceted working with the transportation departments to consider this, which would save them money and make your road safer for you.
Patricia Kramer, thank you for sharing your research with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for your interest.
That was wildlife researcher Patricia Kramer talking to WPR's Lee Rayburn. They talked about wildlife crossings and how they could help animals in Wisconsin ecosystems.